بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع هداه، ما بعد، فحياكم الله ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى لنا ولكم التوفيق، نتشرف بزيارتكم جميعا، ونسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعلها زيارة مباركة.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداه، أما بعد. And so the Sheikh began by mentioning and by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mentioning that no doubt we are honored to have your presence here with us today. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make this dawrah one that is blessed. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal for his tawfiq and his success.
في بداية هذه الدروس لابد أيها الكرام من تجديد النية لله سبحانه وتعالى، فبالإخلاص تقبل الأعمال ويكون ثوابها مضاعفا عند الله سبحانه وتعالى، ويا خسارة من تعب ورحل ثم يكون غير مقبول العمل، وهذا مما يؤكد على وجوب تجديد النية والإخلاص في هذه الطاعة التي هي العلم وطلبه، وهي من أجل العبادات التي يتقرب بها العبد إلى الله.
And so our Sheikh mentions that in the beginning of these durus, it is a must, and these lessons, it is a must that we renew the niyyah. Reaffirm and renew the niyyah, and that is the affair of ikhlas. For indeed, the actions are not accepted except by way of them having sincerity and ikhlas. And that by way of their sincerity, the actions are multiplied. That Allah Azza wa Jal may multiply the reward for an individual for his actions based upon his sincerity. And so, it is a khasara and a great loss that an individual spends his time and he exerts himself, and because of the absence of, and he travels and what have you, and because of the absence of ikhlas, then the action is not accepted. And so this establishes the importance of renewing the affair of ikhlas and the niyyah and sincerity.
وعندنا في هذه الدورة نرجو الله الإعانة على التمام متن الأول، وهو البيقونية في مصطلح الحديث، والثاني في نواقض الإسلام. وعلم الحديث من العلوم المهمة التي ينبغي معرفتها وكذلك أساسه وأصله، وهو علم مصطلح الحديث.
And so with our dawra and with this these few days of our dawra, we have a number of texts that we're going to be studying. The first of them is the Bayquniyya that we have in today's session. And the second of them is with regard to the Nawaqid al-Islam, that is the nullifiers of Islam. And in this session then, the session of Bayquniyya, Sheikh mentions that the knowledge of Hadith, Ilm al-Hadith, is from the important sciences and branches of knowledge that it is important and imperative that we have a knowledge of. And its origin, which is the mustalah and the hadith terminology, or the knowledge of hadith terminology. That is, it is imperative that one gains a knowledge of these sciences.
وأكثر العلوم الشرعية لها فن يسمى أصول، فللتفسير أصول التفسير، وللفقه أصول الفقه، كذلك علم الحديث له أصول الحديث وهو ما يسمى مصطلح الحديث.
And the majority then of the sciences of the Sharia, they have usul, they have foundations, and that is, they have a foundational science that that science returns back to. And so if you look at tafsir, the knowledge of tafsir has an usul, has an origin and an asl, which is usul al-tafsir, that is the principles and the origin of the science of tafsir. Likewise, fiqh has usul al-fiqh, or the foundation and the principle of that science. Similarly, hadith, it has an origin and a foundation, and that is the usul al-hadith, or the knowledge of mustalah.
وكان هذا الفن مبثوثا في كتب أهل العلم في القديم في شروحهم للحديث وغيرها من الكتب، فله قواعد مبثوثة مثل ما يذكره الشافعي في الرسالة أو غيره من أهل العلم. ثم بعد ذلك بدأ أهل العلم بتدوين هذا العلم في كتب مستقلة، وأول من ألف في ذلك أو من الأوائل كتاب الرامة هرمزي المحدث الفاصل، كتاب الرامة هرمزي المحدث الفاصل هو كتاب مطبوع، ثم توالت بعده المؤلفات كثيرة منثورة والمنظومة.
And so this fun and this science was something that has been spread out, and the varying aspects of the science has been spread out in varying books and across various authorships. And from the books of the past, the old authorships of the past, we have the principles of the science of hadith being mentioned within them, spread out across these books, such as that which was mentioned by Al-Imam Shafi'i in Risala. Then after that, we had those qawa'id, or these principles were gathered together. From the first of those who gathered these principles together and collected them in one place was Al-Imam Ar-Ramahurmuzi. Al-Imam Ar-Ramahurmuzi, who authored his book Al-Muhaddith Al-Fasil. Imam Ar-Ramahurmuzi was from the first of those who gathered the sciences of the varying branches and principles together.
ومنه هذه المنظومة التي بين أيدينا البيقونية. والبيقوني لا توجد له ترجمة موسعة، فقد ذكر بعضهم أن اسمه عمر بن محمد الدمشقي الشافعي، وقيل اسمه طه بن محمد. ولم يجدوا إلا أنه كان حياً سنة 1080 للهجرة، لا يعرف ولادته ولا وفاته، وهذا من العجيب، من أدلة الإخلاص كيف رجل لا يعرف يكتب منظومة يتداولها بعد ذلك بسنين وقرون، العلماء بالشرح والطلاب بالحفظ. نسأل الله الإخلاص.
As far as this introductory text, يعني from them is this text, يعني from those books that gather the varying science of hadith is the text that we have before us, and that is the Manzoom al-Bayquniyah. This text, there is not much that has been authored or mentioned concerning the biography of the author. There are some that mention that his name was Umar ibn Muhammad al-Dimishqi, while others mention that his name was Taha bin Muhammad. And in terms of his biography and his life, his date of birth, death, and so on, the only piece of information that we have was that he was born, or that he lived 1080 after the Hijrah. 1080 after the Hijrah, and nothing concerning his yani date of death and what have you, nothing from that has been documented concerning him. But this is from the Adilla and from the evidences of ikhlas, of sincerity. Here we have a man that the date of his birth and death and the details of his name and what have you are unknown, yet his manzuma and his lines of poetry are spread across the globe, and tulab ilm and students of knowledge memorize it and benefit from it. And so we ask Allah Azza wa Jal for sincerity.
وأيضا على الطالب أن يجتهد في حفظ هذه المنظومة وحفظ أيضا المتن الآخر نواقض الإسلام، ومن يحفظهما يكون له جائزة في آخر الدورة إن شاء الله. الجائزة لي أنا هو
يعطيني. And so Sheikh, you mentioned that the طالب, it is imperative for the students then to yajtahidun, yani that they strive with the memorization of the text. This and similarly the text, the second text, which is Nawaqid al-Islam, upon the talib to yajtahid, strive to memorize the text, and the one who memorizes the text, then we have some jawa'iz, or he will have a gift. That there will be a gift. There's a gift that he has to give to me, though. Sheikh.
علم الحديث كما يقول في بداية النظم بدأ رحمه الله بقوله أبدأ بالحمد مصليا على محمد خير نبي أرسل. بدأ بالحمد، الصلاة على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهذا من السنن المأثورة في تأليفات العلماء وخطب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في خطبة الحاجة وغيرها، وهذا كله من أسباب حصول البركة في العلوم.
Now, our Sheikh mentioned that here then, in this, or in the beginnings of the Manzoomah, the Imam, he began with praise of Allah Azza wa Jal. He began by mentioning, أَبْدَأُ بِالْحَمْدِ مُصَلِّيًا عَلَىٰ, that I begin with praise and sending peace and blessings upon Muhammad, upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خير النبي أرسلا, the best of the messengers that were sent. This in the beginnings and in the start of his authorship, he made mention of this praise, and this is something that was present in the other authorships, well known, that one begins his authorship with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is from the causes of barakah, from the causes of blessings.
قال وذي من أقسام الحديث عدة وكل واحد أتى وحده. يقول هنا رحمه الله في بيان أقسام الحديث وتعريف علم الحديث أن أهل العلم لهم تعريفات متعددة ويمكن أن يعرف علم أصول الفقه بأنه علم بأصول وقواعد يعرف بها أحوال السند والمتن من حيث القبول والرد. فإذا هذا تعريفه.
نعم. So our Sheikh mentioned then that he began then by mentioning وَذِي مِنْ أَقْسَامِ الْحَدِيثِ عِدَّةِ, that then we have here some of the categories of hadith, يعني some of the categories of hadith, وَكُلُّ وَاحِدٍ أَتَى وَحَدَّى, and each one will come along with its had or with its definition. That is, these categories of hadith, we will mention them and each one will be mentioned with its definition. And one can define the affair of the knowledge of hadith, and the scholars have varying definitions of ilm al-hadith. Varying definitions, what our Shaykh mentioned, that it may be defined as knowledge or a science, the knowledge of which is based upon principles and maxims. By way of them, one is familiar with the conditions of a sanad, familiar with the conditions of a chain of narration and its text. One is familiar with the conditions of the chain of a narration and its text, whether accepted or rejected. And that is the definition then, the general definition of the science of hadith.
وهذا يعطينا موضوع هذا العلم هو السند والمتن. فالسند هو سلسلة الرجال من الراوي إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. والمتن هو كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو ما انتهى إليه السند, هذا السند. وأما المتن, يعني السند هو سلسلة الرجال التي توصل إلى المتن, والمتن هو ما انتهى إليه السند من الكلام, ثم ينظر في هذا الكلام هل هو كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو الصحابة أو التابعين, وكل نوع له اسم خاص كما سيأتي بيانه.
And so then therefore the science of hadith revolves clearly around two affairs, and that is the study of the chain of narration of a hadith and the study of the hadith itself, the text of that hadith. And so the chain of narration, when it is said sanad or isnad, then it is a reference to silsilatul rijal. That is, it is a reference to a chain of men or a chain of narrators that ends with a text. It is a reference to a chain of men or a chain of narrators that ends with the text. And as far as the matin is concerned, it is mantaha ilayhi sanadu min al-kalam. It is that which the sanad or the chain of narration ends upon from speech. And that speech can be attributed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, could be attributed to the Sahaba, to the Tabi'een. And each one of those categories, yani speech that is attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speech that is attributed to the Sahaba, speech attributed to the Tabi'een, each one of those has a category of study and an area of study within the knowledge of Hadith.
وَأَمَّا ثَمَرَةُ هَذَا الْعِلْمُ وَفَائِدَتُهُ فَهُوَ تَمْيِيزُ الصَّحِيحِ مِنَ الضَّعِيفِ وَالسَّقِيمِ مِنَ الْأَحَادِيثِ وَالْآثَارِ وَغَيْرِهَا لِذَلِكَ لهذا العلم ثمرة على جميع العلوم الأخرى فيعرف الصحيح من السقيم في العقائد وفي التفسير وأيضا في الأساس وهو في الحديث في غيرها من الفنون.
نعم. And so we must look then at what the fruit of this knowledge is. After looking at its definition and what it is exactly and what it deals with, what is the fruit of this knowledge? Clearly, the fruit of this knowledge is making clear and defining that which is sahih and that which is authentic from that which is da'if and saqim and suffering from ailments. And that then is something that returns back to hadith and it returns back to athar and narrations. Therefore, since that is the case, and since that is the fruit of this knowledge, we see that this knowledge returns back clearly to numerous sciences, numerous other sciences that will require authenticity and a knowledge of authenticity. It returns back to aqa'id. It returns back to belief. It returns back to tafsir. And it returns back to hadith itself. Yani that the science of hadith itself and grading a hadith returns back to the science of hadith. Now,
قال وكل واحد أو وذي من أقسام الحديث عدة. أقسام الحديث أو أنواع علم الحديث أو أنواع علم المصطلح اجتهد أهل العلم في تعداده وتقسيمه، فمنهم من أوصلها إلى 100 نوع مثل الحازمي وابن الصلاح في مقدمته، وهو من المتون المعتمدة في علم المصطلح. مقدمة ابن الصلاح عدها 65 نوعا، ومنهم من زاد عليه، وكله يرجع إلى اجتهاد أهل العلم في التقسيم والتنويع. لذلك قال وذي من أقسام الحديث عدة، يعني تعداد يختلف، وكل واحد يأتي ويعدد أنواع علوم الحديث بحسب اجتهاده.
So then the author, he mentions وَذِي مِنْ أَقْسَامِ الْحَدِيثِ عِدَّةِ. And this then we have some of the numerous categories of hadith. Here he begins by mentioning the fact that the categories of the science of hadith and the branches that are present within the science of hadith are numerous categories. And as far as the enumeration of the categories of the science of hadith, then that returns back to the ijtihad and the striving of the varying scholars to come to a conclusion as to how many categories of the science of hadith we actually have. How many levels of the science of hadith and categories. And from them are those who have declared that there are some 100 levels of the science of hadith, like Al-Hazimi. And from them are those such as Al-Imam Ibn Salah in his Muqaddimah, And his muqaddimah is from the foundation and from the source books related to the science of hadith. Ibn Salah, he mentions in his muqaddimah that they are some 65 categories. And there are some 65 categories. And this authorship of Al-Imam Ibn Salah is one of the fundamental foundation authorships in the science of hadith. From them then as those who have increased, some have decreased, but all of this returns back to the ijtihad of the scholar, and that is why the Imam, he mentions, وَذِي مِنْ أَقْسَامِ الْحَدِيثِ عِدَّ وَكُلُّ وَاحِدٍ أَتَى وَحَدَّ, that here we have the categories of hadith that are numerous in number, and every category will come along and will be mentioned with its definition.
ثم قال ونحن في تعليق نختصر تننهي المنظومة إن شاء الله. قال أولها الصحيح هو ما اتصل إسناده ولم يشذ أو يعل, يرويه عدل ضابط عن مثله, معتمد في ضبطه ونقله, ثم انتقل إلى الحسن ثم انتقل إلى الضعيف. فهنا نقول ينقسم الحديث من حيث القبول والرد إلى ثلاثة أقسام: صحيح وحسن وضعيف. وأول من قسم هذه القسمة الثلاثية هو الإمام الترمذي رحمه الله, وإلا قبله كان الحديث حسن وصحيح, حسن صحيح وضعيف. ويقسمون الضعيف إلى ما يحتج به وما لا يحتج به. وهذا ما ألف فيه شيخنا الشيخ ربيع تقسيم الحديث, لأنه في عبارات الأولين كالإمام أحمد وغيره إذا قال حديث ضعيف يحتج به يقصد الحسن ولا يقصد الضعيف. فإذن خلاصة تقسيم الحديث من حيث القبول والرد: صحيح وحسن وضعيف.
نعم. And then the Imam, he mentions أولها الصحيح وهو ما اتصل إسناده ولم يشذ ولم يعل. يعني that the first of them is الصحيح, and it is that which has been narrated with a chain of narration that is connected. That which is narrated with the chain of narration that is connected, number one. And number two, there is no shudud. That is, there is no narrator that is trustworthy who opposes a narrator that is more trustworthy than him, in which case the hadith is rejected, which is known as shudud. It is not shadh or yu'al. That is, there is no illa, yani there is no hidden defect within the hadith. Then he mentions, so we see therefore in the following line, يَرْوِيهِ عَدْلٌ ضَابِتٌ عَنْ مِثْلِهِ, that it is narrated by a narrator who is عَدْل ضَابِت, يعني that he is upright in his character, in his deen, ضَابِت, precise in that which he narrates, عَنْ مِثْلِهِ, and he narrates from someone like him, يعني, so that continues in relation to the narration, مُعْتَمِدٌ فِي ضَبْتِهِ وَنَقْلِهِ, and one relies upon his precision and what he has transmitted. And so we understand therefore that this is the condition of the hadith that is sahih. Anything other than this, afterwards the Imam, he mentions the hadith that is hasan, then the hadith that is da'if. And so we have the sahih and its definition, then we have that which is hasan, which will come along, then that which is da'if. And so we understand then that ahadith are categorized into three categories: sahih, hasan, and da'if. And it is this that Shaykhana Shaykh Rabi authored his book concerning the taqseem of the ahadith, in order to highlight the fact that the first of those who categorize hadith into sahih, hasan, and da'if was Imam al-Tirmidhi. And that which occurred before al-Imam al-Tirmidhi was the scholars used to categorize hadith into sahih, authentic, and da'if, weak. But what they intended by authentic and weak, authentic was whatever was utilized or could be utilized, and that its chain of narration was sound and usable, and da'if was anything other than that. And so when it is said that Imam Ahmad used to use the hadith da'if in circumstances, what was intended by that was the hadith that was hasan, because it fell into this yani two, or this yani tertiary form of categorization, sahih and da'if. What was meant by da'if was hasan, and that which was considered outright weak. Now,
الصحيح ينقسم إلى قسمين: صحيح لذاته وصحيح لغيره. أما الصحيح لذاته فهو التعريف الذي ذكره البيقوني، وله خمسة شروط. ثلاثة شروط ثبوتية وشرطين منفيان. الشروط الأولى الثلاث الثبوتية هو العدالة والضبط واتصال السند. العدالة والضبط واتصال السند. والشروط المنفية هي نفي العلة ونفي الشذوذ. فيكون تعريف الحديث الصحيح لذاته ما نقله عدل تام الضبط عن مثله، متصل السند غير معل ولا شاذ. سنأخذ واحدة واحدة وبيانها.
So the hadith that is sahih then is of two categories. The first of them is a hadith that is sahih li dhatihi, that is, it is sahih in and of itself, and that is what was defined by Imam al-Bayquni in the text, and has been previously mentioned. And the definition of which, as we mentioned, is here. When we analyze the definition, we see that there are five shurut, or five conditions, in the hadith that is sahih. Five conditions. Three of them are conditions that are to be affirmed, and two of them are conditions that are to be negated. The three that are affirmed is the adala, or the uprightness of the narrator, the precision of the narrator, and that the chain is connected, ittisal as-sanad. And the two that are negated is that there is illa, or hidden defect within the chain, and shudud, which is that a trustworthy narrator opposes someone that is more trustworthy than him. So even though he's trustworthy, his opposition is rejected. As long as these five conditions are fulfilled, then we have a hadith that is authentic. And so the definition then of the authentic hadith, it is that which has been narrated with the transmission of a narrator that is upright and that has sound precision, who narrates from his like with the absence of any hidden defect and with the absence of the opposition of a trustworthy narrator of one that is more trustworthy than him. Now,
وهذا الصحيح يأتي على مراتب، وهناك ما يسمى بأصح الأسانيد، ولما يقول أهل العلم أصح الأسانيد الصواب في ذلك أن يقيد إما ببلد أو بشخص، فيقال مثلا أصح أسانيد المدينة مالك عن نافع عن ابن عمر، أصح الأسانيد عن عائشة هشام بن عروة عن أبيه عن عائشة، وهكذا كله أصح الأحاديث. وبالنسبة لشروط أهل العلم في الصحيح، فأصح الأحاديث قسمها ابن حجر وغيره إلى 7 مراتب، ما اتفق عليه البخاري ومسلم 1، من فرد به البخاري، من فرد به مسلم، ما كان على شرط البخاري ومسلم يعني لم يخرجه، أو كان على شرط البخاري فقط، أو كان على شرط مسلم فقط، والسابع والأخير ما صح عند غيرهما كابن حبان وابن خزيمة وغيره. والكلام عن جزئيات الصحيح وتعريفه يحتاج إلى دورة.
نعم. And so the categories, or that which is related to the hadith as-sahih, this is the definition of the authentic hadith. يعني that which was mentioned previously from the conditions of the authentic hadith. This is the definition of the authentic hadith. The scholars of hadith discuss something that is referred to as asah al-ahadith, the most authentic hadith. And so we have the authentic hadith, then we have the most authentic. What is considered the most authentic hadith? And how do we detect the most authentic hadith? Sheikh said that which is most correct is that there is no one chain of narration that is referred to as the most authentic chain of narration mutlaqan, absolutely, but rather it is restricted to a particular narrator or a particular land or a particular place, for example. And so, for example, the most authentic chain of narration from the people of Medina, is Malik and Nafi' and Ibn Umar. That is Malik, Imam Malik, narrating from Nafi', who narrates from Ibn Umar. And so that is said the most authentic chain of narration from the people of Medina. The most authentic chain of narration from Aisha radiallahu anha, for example, is Hisham ibn Urwa an Abi an Aisha. That is Hisham ibn Urwa, who narrates from his father, who narrates from Aisha. That is the most authentic chain of narration from Aisha. And so what is most correct is that one does not say there is one chain of narration which is the most authentic chain. Rather, there are authentic chains from a particular land or a particular narrator and so on. This then is sound and is correct. And so as far as the most authentic ahadith generally, then they are of 7 levels. And this categorization is the categorization of Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar. He categorizes the most authentic ahadith generally upon 7 levels. The first of them is that which Bukhari and Muslim have agreed upon. That's the first level. The second level, that which was collected by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. The third level, that which was collected by Imam Muslim. The fourth level, that which was upon the conditions of the two of them. Upon the conditions of the two of them, but they didn't collect the hadith. The fifth level, that which is upon the conditions of Bukhari. The sixth level, that which is upon the conditions of Muslim. And the seventh level is that which was collected by other scholars of hadith, such as Al-Imam Ibn Hibban and Hakim and others.
ثم تعرض للحديث الحسن وكما قلنا الحديث الصحيح انقسم إلى صحيح إلى صحيح لذاته ولغيره وقبل الحديث عن الحديث الصحيح لغيره لا بد أن نعرف تعريف الحسن لذاته لأن الحسن لذاته أيضا ينقسم إلى حسن لذاته أو الحسن ينقسم إلى حسن لذاته وحسن لغيره فتعريف الحسن لذاته هو ما قاله البيقوني رحمه الله ألا والحسن المعروف طرقا وغدت رجاله لك الصحيح اشتهرت وانتقد هنا على تعريفه للحسن كما أنه ينبغي أن يعلم أن هناك خلاف كبير بين أهل العلم في تعريف الحسن وخلاصة الأمر هو الصواب أن الحسن لذاته مثل تعريف الصحيح لذاته ولكن الأول رجاله أهل ضبط والحسن لذاته خف ضبط رجاله إذن الفرق فقط في قضية الضبط أولئك عندهم أو من الشروط الضبط وهنا خف الضبط لذلك قال بعضهم في تعديل البيت والحسن الخفيف ضبطا إذ غدت رجاله لك الصحيح اشتهرت يعني نفس الشروط لا يوجد علة لا شذوذ اتصال السند العدالة ولكن خفيف الضبط الذي يقال عنه مثلا صدوق أو يهم وهكذا يكون حديثه حسن لذاته
Then the Imam, he goes on to discuss that which is related to the hadith that is considered Hasan. Hadith that is considered Hasan. As far as the affair of the hadith that is considered Hasan, we should know that the hadith that is considered Hasan is of two types, two categories. Hasanun li dhatihi, that is Hasan in and of itself, wa Hasanun li ghayri, and Hasan based upon other than itself. As far as understanding Hasanun li ghayrihi, that is the hadith that is Hasan, that is supported and has other chains, we must first understand what is Hasanun li dhati. What is Hasan in and of itself and by itself. And so he mentions therefore that the Hasan, that is Hasanun li dhatihi, Imam, he mentions, وَالْحَسَنُ الْمَعْرُوفُ طُرْقًا وَغَدَتْ That is, the Hasan is that which is known or that which its chains of narration are known and its رِجَال لَا كَالصَّحِيحِ are not like a sahih. That is, its narrators are not on the same level as the narrators of the Sahih. So رجاله لا كالصحيح اشتهرت. They are not as well known and precise as the narrators that are present in the hadith as-sahih. Therefore, Though there are many definitions, and the scholars have different concern in the definition of the hadith al-Hasan, and Imam al-Bayquni himself has been criticized concerning this definition of his, that there are, from the people of knowledge, those who do not agree with his definition. What is correct then is that the hadith al-Hasan li-dhatihi is the same as the hadith al-Sahih li-dhatihi, with one difference, and that is the precision of the narrator, or one of the narrators within the chain of narration is of a slightly lesser level. The precision is of a slightly lesser level. Therefore, the hadith, it is considered Hasan. And so, some have rectified this line within the Bayquniya, and they have said, والحسن الخفيف ضبطا وغدت رجاله لك الصحيح اشتهرت. That some have rectified the line and have said that Hassan is that which the precision of a narrator is on a lesser level and are not like the narrators within the hadith al-sahih.
إذن عندنا القسم الثالث هو الصحيح لغيره. بعد أن عرفنا الحسن لذاته هناك مرتبة بين الصحيح لذاته والحسن لذاته وهي الصحيح لغيره. إذن الصحيح لغيره مرتبة دون الصحيح لذاته وأعلى من الحسن لذاته، وهو باختصار الحسن لذاته إذا كثرت طرقه وتعددت أسانيده ارتقى وارتفع منزله إلى كونه صحيح لغيره. إذن أيهم أعلى؟ أولا الصحيح لذاته، ثم الصحيح لغيره، ثم الحسن لذاته. فالحسن لذاته إذا تعددت طرقه انتقل وارتفع إلى الصحيح لغيره.
Therefore we have then these three categories of hadith. Well, we should look then, that is authentic, Hasan and Da'if. But as we're discussing Sahih and Hasan, we should know that Sahih and Hasan then both have these two categories. Sahih lidhatihi, that is authentic in and of itself and by itself. Sahihun lighayrihi, authentic, secondly, when it is supported by other than itself. Thirdly, Hasanun lidhatihi, that is Hasan by itself. Fourthly, Hasanun lighayri, Hasan when it is supported by other than itself. And so, the sahih li ghayrihi, if we understand what hasan li dhatihi is, the hasan that is authentic by itself, or is hasan by itself, when it is supported with other chains that are similar to it, hasanun li ghayrihi, li dhatihi, these chains support each other to bring the hadith past the level of hasan up to the level of sahih. But it is not on that higher level of sahih, neither is it down in the level of hasan. It is on the lowest level of sahih, which is sahih li ghayrihi. It is authentic because it is hasan that is supported by another hasan, until it brings it up to the level of, or this base level of sahih. And so we have these four categories therefore in relation to Hasan and Sahih. Sahih by itself, authentic by itself, authentic if it is supported, yani Sahih if it is supported, Hasan by itself, Hasan based upon support. So those four categories: Sahih by itself, Sahih if when supported, Hasan by itself, Hasan when supported.
ويبقى عندنا من أقسام الحسن الحسن لغيره. والحسن لغيره أيضا لمعرفته لا بد أن نتحدث عن معنى الضعيف. فقال هنا رحمه الله: وكل ما عن رتبة الحسن قصر فهو الضعيف، وهو أقساما كثر. يعني أن الضعيف ما لم يجمع صفات القبول، ما لم يجمع صفات القبول في الحسن لذاته فإنه يكون ضعيفا، بمعنى أنه إما خف الضبط أو ضعف الضبط أو لم يتصل السند أو كان هناك علة، كان هناك شذوذ، شروط الخمسة ذهبت. وهذا الضعيف أقسام كثيرة متعددة، ولكن ينبغي أن يعلم أن الضعيف حتى نعرف ما هو الحسن لغيره، الضعيف في الإجمال ينقسم إلى قسمين: ضعيف محتمل يعني ضعفه خفيف يقبل التقوي إذا كثرت طرقه أو تعدد، وضعيف شديد الضعف لا يرتفع ولا يتقوى ولو تعددت طرقه. إذن الضعيف إما ضعيف محتمل وإما ضعيف شديد الضعف. هذا الضعيف الذي هو محتمل وضعفه خفيف إذا تعددت طرقه وكثرت ارتفع إلى الحسن لغيره فكان مقبولا ومحتجا به. فعلى هذا خلاصة هذا التقسيم: صحيح لذاته ثم صحيح لغيره ثم حسن لذاته ثم حسن لغيره ثم ضعيف محتمل ثم ضعيف شديد الضعف.
نعم. And so what we have then and what is left to be discussed here is the categorization, or to look at the categorization of the Hasan. Hasan, as we mentioned, is of two categories: Hasan only dhatihi, that is Hasan by itself, not in need of any support, and Hasanun li ghayrihi, Hasan that requires support. As far as the Hasanun li ghayrihi, then in order for us to look at what Hasan li ghayrihi, that is Hasan that is supported, we must look at Da'if. We must look at what the hadith of Da'if, or the weak hadith, is. And that is where the Imam says, وَكُلُّ مَا عَنْ رُتْبَةِ الْحُسْنِ قَصُرٍ, that everything that falls from the level of husn, everything that falls from the level of being hasan, every hadith that falls from the level of being hasan, then it is considered weak, it is considered dhaif. And as the Imam mentions, they are of many categories. And so the varying categories then return back to the five conditions of the hadith that is authentic that we previously mentioned. Yani that it is that which its chain is connected, number one, with a trustworthy narrator, trustworthy in his religion, number two, precise in his narration, number three, there is no hidden defect, number four, and there is no shudud, which is when we have trustworthy narrator opposing someone more trustworthy than him. All of the categories of a hadith that is da'if returns back to the absence of one of these categories of the hadith as sahih, or an opposition in one of these categories. So either, as the Sheikh mentioned, where there is no ittisal as-sanad, the chain is not connected, or that there is a problem with the precision of one of the narrators, or the varying different manifestations of oppositions to the hadith as-sahih. And so when we have these varying oppositions, as the Shaykh mentioned, the Imam mentioned, وَهُوَ الضَّعِيفُ, it is therefore considered ضَعِيفُ وَهُوَ أَقْسَامًا كَثُرُ, and they are of many, many categories. The weak hadith are of numerous categories. And so, what we should conclude with the weak narration, the weak hadith, is that the weak hadith are of two types. That which has ضعف and weakness that is considered محتمل, يعني it is light weakness, it isn't bad. We can consider that narration because the weakness isn't terrible. It isn't a bad level of weakness. And then number two, الضعف الشديد, that which is very weak, that which is very weak, the like of which we do not consider. So with the first category, because of the fact that its weakness is mild, if another chain of narration similar to it were to come along and support it, then it would bring the hadith up from the level of being weak to the level of being hasan. But not hasan li dhatihi, not hasan by itself, hasanun li ghayrihi, hasan because of other than itself. And what is that other than itself? This mildly weak hadith with this mildly weak hadith with perhaps a third mildly weak hadith that brings it up to the level that we can feel satisfied that there is a good grade and a satisfactory grade that we can work with. And so that is considered hasanun li ghayri. And so, therefore, the categories then of the hadith is that which is sahih li dhatihi, sahih by itself, sahih because of support. Thirdly, hasan by itself. Fourthly, hasan due to support. Fifthly, the hadith that is weak, and that is of two types, weak that is mild weakness, and then severe weakness that is not looked upon and is rejected outright.
وقال أقساما كثر أي أنواع وأقسام الحديث الضعيف كثيرة أوصلها بعض أهل العلم إلى أكثر من 40 نوعا وترجع أسباب الضعف إلى جملة من الأمور وهي 4 أسباب الضعف ترجع إلى 4 في الجملة إما سقط في الراوي أحد الرواة سقط وإما طعن في الراوي وإما هناك علة قادحة في الحديث وإما وجود مخالفة للراوي لرواة آخرين فهذه 4 أسباب للضعف وكل نوع أو كل سبب تحته أنواع من أنواع الضعيف.
نعم. And so the Imam he mentioned in the final line then وهو أقساما كثر, that they are of numerous levels or numerous categories, that is the hadith or the ahadith that are considered weak, they are of numerous categories, to the extent that some of the people of knowledge have considered that there are some 40 variant types of weak hadith. And so there are very many numerous manifestations of the weak hadith. But what we should understand is that the weakness within the hadith return back to 4 main affairs. The first affair is saqt fi rawi. That is, there is a narrator that is missing or that is absent that causes a break in the chain. Secondly, ta'an fi rawi. That is to say that one of the narrators has been disparaged in such a way and in such a manner that would cause us to reject his ahadith. Thirdly, the presence of an illa, that is the presence of a hidden defect within the chain. And fourthly, the presence of this shudud that we mentioned earlier, which is when a trustworthy narrator opposes someone more trustworthy than him. And so in this instance, it is said that even though he's trustworthy, he's made a mistake because of him opposing those who are stronger than him. And so the varying categories of weak hadith return back to one of those four. Either there is a missing narrator, or there is one of the narrators has been disparaged and spoken against, or there is a hidden defect in the chain of narration, or we have this opposition that is known as shudud. Or mukhalafa. Yeah, I need this opposition that occurs with shadh, and it likewise occurs with another munkar. Category of hadith known as munkar, which I believe is going to come inshaAllah.
إذن هنا نقف إن شاء الله نأخذ استراحة حياكم الله قهوة الشاهي فوق الله أعلم صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد ونكمل بعد المغرب بحول الله.
So we'll stop at that point إن شاء الله, and we'll have a break and some rest, and we'll continue after Maghrib إن شاء الله.